much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the second hour of the Light of Day radio program with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Did want to point out that there are going to be two more hosts joining the network, so that it'll soon become six hosts for the network. Plus, John DiNardo, he's going to be doing his own show on Orion here soon. We still have John on the line, and we still have... John on for the remainder of the show. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Yeah, now, during the break, me and you were talking about these sinkholes that have appeared. There was an 80-meter-wide sinkhole down in China, and then you came across one that was seen down in Malaysia. What do you think of those?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been hearing about that. I have not had a chance to really investigate the wide variety of sinkholes that I've been hearing about, so I really can't say, but there have been some reports of sinkholes, as I recall, over the past several years on the Weather Channel. I've been following the Weather Channel very carefully since 2004 because I've been seeking out meteorological evidence of the incoming Planet X, and I've been videotaping severe weather reports, and I do recall a number of times when they have shown reports of sinkholes with, you know, actual on-the-scene footage of these sinkholes. However, I haven't investigated the quantity of them and see if they are abnormally more frequent than ever before. Probably are. But what we saw in Malaysia was something different. I came across this photograph it was a newspaper article, but all the language was written in Chinese characters. So, you know, this is obviously from the Orient. And it showed a highway with a bus standing right next to the highway where the entire highway had been split right across. And there was a huge gaping chasm in the earth. It was really amazing to see. You could see the layers of stratum beneath the ground, and the gap looked like it was about 20, 30 feet wide, something like that. It's hard to tell, but it was really amazing. However, getting back to this oil thing, so my friend Mark had told me about 3 to 4 years ago that that the U.S. Geological Survey was expecting to see land masses rising out of the Gulf of Mexico. And now here we have, 3 or 4 years later, we have this oil spill, so-called oil spill. Now, I think it's a cover. As I said before, I think they're trying to trying to make it look like they, the government, or they, the BP and the corporations, have accidentally, out of stupidity and recklessness, created this oil gusher. Because they don't want the world to know that it's really a major global natural disaster. And if it was just a regular natural disaster, you know, that could be handled, could be controlled, they probably would not want to cover it up. They would just probably be honest about it and say we've got a natural disaster. But and here's something, this is a point that I had not thought about. Because they know there is a drumbeat of increasing natural disasters occurring, getting worse and worse, they're going to lose control of the society because people, when they panic, they no longer are timid, docile. They begin to revolt. They begin to go it their own way and prepare themselves for survival. They no longer respect and fear the government. And this is what the government, our elite who control our government, are afraid of.
But, John?
So, yes.
I did want to point out, isn't that what the ruling power elite want? They want a revolution from the American people.
They want a revolution. Well, they want a revolution as a result of their tyranny. Why? So that they can have an excuse to institute martial law and create a dictatorship.
But what you're saying is they don't want a revolution in terms of earth changes.
If it was earth changes, you would have a massive revolution. Everybody, 99% of the population, even the most timid guy on a couch with his can of beer and the seat up, even that guy who would never do anything, never take any action, he was going to go into a state of panic and start to prepare himself for survival. He wouldn't pay his taxes. You see, now with a revolution from tyranny, what do we have during the American Revolution? We had only about 4 or 5% of the people actually fighting in the colonial army. The rest of the people sat back and tolerated the British tyranny. That's what you would have today also, because human nature does not change. And so they could deal with that 5% of Americans who would revolt due to their New World Order tyranny, but they cannot deal with 99% of the people not paying their taxes.
Now, I don't know if you mentioned it, John, but before the top of the hour break, did you tell the audience about this underground magma tunnel or channel that goes from Yellowstone all the way down to the Gulf?
Yeah, right. Mark had told me I spoke to him recently now, after speaking to him 3 to 4 years ago, and I hadn't talked to him for quite a while, just speaking to him recently as a result of this oil spill. He told me that, yes, it's true what he had told me 3 to 4 years ago, that they do expect land masses. His U.S. Geological Survey geologist friend or contact told him that they do expect land masses to rise out of the Gulf of Mexico. But he says now there's also, they expect, and I should have checked the name of the place on the map, they also expect land masses to arise near this island. It's near Trinidad and Tobago, and it's Saint something that starts with an M. I don't know what that might be, but I guess I could look at the map and find out. I thought it might be Montserrat.
That's just what I was going to say.
Montserrat is in the Caribbean, right? Maybe that's what he's thinking of. Maybe it's not saying anything. Because I know Montserrat, I've seen films where over the past few years they've had ongoing volcanic eruptions, and the people are really devastated by all this volcanic ash coming down and covering them, covering the whole city, the whole island. So maybe that's it. But we'll check the map and find out where that island might be. Well, anyway, suffice it to say that this place where they expect land masses to arise also is somewhere near that island, Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, I wish I could say where it is, but I've always been pretty bad with geography. I also wanted to point out that there were 1,033 earthquakes around the Yellowstone area like 2 months before this oil rig went into the Gulf.
Right, so that would indicate that there's a rising pressure in Yellowstone. And anyway, so Mark had told me in this recent conversation that in addition to the land masses rising in, you know, in other parts of the Caribbean, that there is a magma tunnel that leads directly. Oh, and this is what his friend told him, because they have some kind of technology. I guess it would be satellite technology. They could actually view the under the crust of the Earth and see, get images of what the topography or what it looks like, the structure of the Earth and the magma below it. And he said that there is basically almost a straight line tunnel going from this undersea volcano in the Gulf of Mexico, into which they have drilled, going from that undersea volcano in the Gulf of Mexico to the Yellowstone volcano in Wyoming. And he says, as a result of that, knowing that, he believes his theory, it's just a theory now, he has no further evidence except that this, putting the facts together and coming up with a surmisal conclusion. He believes that they're trying to relieve the pressure on Yellowstone, because the pressure on the Yellowstone caldera, volcanic caldera, is becoming dangerously high, and there could be an explosion. That means all the water in this bowl of water sitting atop Yellowstone volcano could become superheated into steam and just explode, causing a tremendous devastating volcanic eruption. They say this eruption would be very destructive to the entire western United States, and of course the rest of the United States also. So this is a catastrophe that they would have to deal with, and I think they're dealing with it right in this way, by tapping into this volcano. But you see, I can't be sure about that either, because when you look at all the other facts, I mean, I think it's a similar theory, but it goes a little further than that. I think they don't know what to do, because just by drilling into that volcano, and from what I was told, my friend sent me an email, he says it has documentation, and I think most people can check this out and let me know if it's correct or not, that this drill pipe that they inserted into the 1 mile deep into the bed of the Gulf of Mexico that BP inserted, this drill pipe is only 7 inches in diameter. Now, 7 inches is nothing, and to expect to relieve the pressure, that tremendous volcanic pressure, I'm just thinking about it now, on Yellowstone with a 7-inch pipe, that wouldn't do it. It's pretty obvious to me, and that's not nearly enough release of pressure. However, they are talking about putting a nuke in there, aren't they? This is another thing that just came to mind. They want to nuke it. Why? Because they want to open it up wider. This is, my theory. They open it up wider, then they can release more pressure. At the same time, they're having problems because, and they're not mentioning it, this is all kept secret, and that is that there are numerous cracks all along the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. Numerous cracks hundreds of miles away from this, and petroleum engineers, geologists have stated this in this article that was sent to me. I've got to check it out more thoroughly, but this is what my friend told me.
Well, Senator,
we can look it up and find out. Yes.
Well, I know there was Senator Bill Nelson out of Florida that did confirm that there were multiple cracks or fissures on the seabed floor.
Right. So, in other words, this goes beyond BP and the government and the U.S. Geological Survey or anybody. This goes beyond them trying to relieve the pressure on the Yellowstone by way of the volcano in the Gulf of Mexico. Because it's out of control. No man, no human or entity can control this disaster. So I think they're in, they're in cleanup mode. They're in cover-up mode because it's a tremendous disastrous situation. And all they can do is scurry about and try to cover it up. And what better way to cover it up than to allow the Gulf of Mexico to become saturated with oil, so that it sort of masks, this oil blanket masks what's happening deep down below.
Hey, John?
Yes?
Would it be all right if I interjected for about 3 minutes here?
Sure.
Your friend Mark is trying, Are you trying to decipher what Mark had told you on this technology used to map this underground magma channel? I sent this email to you, something they were doing here at Yellowstone back in March of 4 years ago, March 9th, 2006. I'll just read it quick. The satellite images acquired by European Space Agency's ERS-2 revealed the recently discovered changes in Yellowstone's caldera are the result of molten rock movement 15 kilometers below the Earth's surface, according to a recent study published in Nature. Using synthetic aperture radar interferometry, Charles Wicks, Wayne Thatcher, and other Geological Survey scientists mapped the changes in the northern rim of the caldera and discovered it had risen about 13 centimeters from 1997 up until 2003. So maybe this was the technology used, synthetic aperture radar interferometry. But then we also have Bill Deagle saying it could be what's called spatial vortex imaging. It could be HARP, who knows?
Right. We know that they've got technology that's capable of viewing beneath the surface of the Earth. And I was thinking that they were trying to relieve the pressure. You know, maybe they are, but it's a natural disaster. I think we can say in general terms it's a natural disaster that they cannot control. Whether or not they drilled into that volcano in order to relieve the pressure, or whether they drilled into the volcano simply to make the world believe that man's stupidity and man's recklessness is the cause of this huge oil disaster in the Gulf.
Well, I was going to say it would be so easy for the government to blame it on themselves, because that's what the masses have always done, is pointed their fingers at the government. They did it.
Right. Well, even now, you know, previously the government was always protecting themselves and covering up their evil deeds. Over the years, the mass media would always cover up all their evil, like, for example, the 9/11, you know, 9/11 slaughter.
Right. Look how
perpetrated by the power elite. But now they have a reason to blame themselves. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, look how effective the 9/11 psyops was. As soon as it happened, everybody was saying, the government did it. They did it. The government did it.
Well, everybody, you and I were saying that, but the vast majority of the American people believed it was Arabs with box cutters.
I was initially saying that, you know, I was going along with that mantra that 9/11 was an inside job, until I learned from Dr. Judy Wood that this is exactly what the elite want the masses to do, is blame it on their own government, because then the country can be destroyed from within when you got the masses blaming their own government. So that, you see, that's a psyops there.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if the government wanted the people to blame them, why have they've gone through so many desperate measures to cover up the fact that people cover up the 9/11 truth movement, which says, regardless of whether they use directed energy weapons or controlled demolition, doesn't matter. Why would they try to prevent people from saying that the government was behind 9/11? I mean, we know they've done quite a bit to threaten people and to stop it and to cover up the truth. But anyway, getting back to this, the government heretofore tried to conceal their criminality in many criminal events over the years. Pearl Harbor, for example, they covered that up. They covered, you know, you can go on and on, but not the Waco massacre, why they did it, not the Oklahoma City bombing, that they did it. All this has been covered up. But now, they're at a point now where, a point of desperation, where they have to cover up the fact that it's a natural disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. And if it was just one controllable natural disaster, they could come out and say, yes, it is a natural disaster, and we're doing the best we can to deal with it. But in this case, it's not, it's quite different. It's quite a bit more
I would actually agree with you.
So alarming that the public would actually, you know, lose their fealty and their loyalty, their obedience to the government. And this is one thing that they dread. Because they know it's a continuing series of natural disasters that are just going to increase in tempo and in magnitude. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, solar scorching, tsunamis, floods. You know, soon enough, we're going to find out about it. The people are going to wake up and realize that this is something is really, gravely wrong with planet. And then those people will revolt from their subservience to the government. But for now, you know, these people in power, they're desperate. They're not that bright. They don't know anything. They don't know what to do, and God is forcing their hand with these natural disasters.
Well, John,
yes,
did want to also point out here that now the government's becoming so concerned about the earth changes that they're recruiting citizens, specifically the U.S. Geological Surveys, wanting citizens to help them find earthquakes, and NASA is wanting folks to go out in the fields there down in Alabama and help them find a space rock that came from the asteroid belt from the middle of May.
Oh, that's a very, very good point. You know, they would be particularly interested in finding anything that came from the asteroid belt because according to, you know, some of the information that I have put together, some of the clues, and I haven't seen anybody working on this. I'm surprised. I wish there were more scientists working on this investigation. But the clues that I saw indicate that Planet X is now getting very close to our ecliptic, coming from below the ecliptic, and ready to penetrate the ecliptic somewhere, according to Gilbert Erickson, somewhere between the asteroid belt and Jupiter. The asteroid belt actually is further out. If you look at the nine planets, there's, you know, Mercury, Venus, then Earth, then Mars, then comes the asteroid belt, and then comes Jupiter, etc. So between the asteroid belt, just beyond Mars, and Jupiter is where they believe Planet X is coming through. Therefore, the great, tremendous gravitational pull of this massive planet is such that it would actually pull asteroids and huge space bodies out of the asteroid belt and cause them to break loose and drift. Some of them would drift in toward Earth. Some of them would crash into Earth. And this is probably what they're interested in. You know, I had noticed back in 2009, NASA reported that there was a huge comet slammed into the southern hemisphere of Jupiter back in 2009. And at the same time, another clue was that the sun had gone strangely and extraordinarily quiet, quiescent in its emission of solar flares.
Hey, John.
In fact, it had broken all-time records of quietness and inactivity. And this indicated to me that the electrical discharging that provokes the sun to flare, the electrical discharging of Planet X and its surrounding horde of space bodies, that electrical discharging between Planet X and the sun had ceased because Planet X is now coming from Jupiter.
Well, we're coming into the break, John. Sorry to interrupt you, but I've got to do it.
Okay.
You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Shaul and Dan, the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010, and we'll be back after the bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010, on the Ryan Talk Radio Network. I don't know if you're out there listening, Jimmy, but folks, this would be the CEO of Orion, and I can just barely hear that bumper music in my headset, even if I have my external speakers on, just to let you know there. I don't know what the issue is, but I can barely hear that bumper music. But anyway, we got John DiNardo on the line. He's calling. He's up in Tawaka, I think it's Tawaka, New Jersey. And we're talking about how the government wants to blame, they want the public to believe that the government did this oil catastrophe. And then during the break, me and John were talking about the 7-inch diameter pipe that's supposed to relieve the pressure at the bottom of the seabed floor, which is just absolutely ludicrous. You got pressures down there possibly as high as 100,000 PSI. Now, before I bring you back on, John, I still have you muted here just to let you know. I wanted to read this article again that this former Kansas State Trooper Greg Evenson put out. I'll just read it here for what it's worth before I bring you back on, John. This came out Thursday. I don't totally trust all the information this guy puts out because last year he was saying there were going to be bracelets issued to people at swine flu checkpoints, and that never came to pan. But anyway, this article says it's entitled "Snowplows Ready to Remove Abandoned Vehicles from Highways When Gulf Coast Evacuations Occur." And I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I do want to scroll down a little to where it talks about these Gulf waters that are filmed by somebody at a beach here at Pensacola Beach, Florida, and it's the water is boiling like acid. The excessive methane gas in the Gulf, which could be why the water in this video I'm talking about appears to be boiling. And if anybody send me an email, I'll send you the Windows Media video of this water bubbling. So, well, welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, Sheldon.
I was just talking about this water bubbling here. This is Pensacola Beach. I'm actually looking at it right here.
Looking at the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because I would imagine that Pensacola is at least 600-700 miles from that oil drill point in the Gulf, 1 mile deep beneath the Gulf of Mexico. It's Pensacola has to be at least 600 miles away. Yet you have methane or some kind of gas bubbling up from up to the surface near Pensacola. You have
hey, John.
Red stuff coming, yes.
While you're elaborating on that, I'll pull out my trucker's road atlas, and I'm going to look up the mileage, so go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, it's getting to be quite obvious, I think. We're seeing this oil all over the Gulf of Mexico. There's no way it could be so widespread and so voluminous just from a 7-inch diameter drill pipe. And also you're seeing this methane coming up in Pensacola, hundreds of miles away from where the drilling point was. This tells me if methane's coming up, where is it coming from? It has to be coming from below the seabed. And therefore, there have to be cracks, openings in the seabed. Exhaust, like little volcano holes in the seabed, allowing these gases to come up. Otherwise, you would never have gases bubbling up. They say that gases are composed of methane and hydrogen sulfide. Hydrogen sulfide is deadly. Methane is highly flammable, explosive, in high enough concentrations. So what we're seeing is that it's virtually impossible for that drill pipe to be causing all of this methane bubbling up hundreds of miles away and all this red stuff coming up. It must be coming from cracks in the seabed, and we're hearing that report from Senator Nelson, as Sheldon pointed out. I'll ask him to reiterate that report from Senator Nelson. Also, Lindsey Williams, a very credible guest on Alex Jones, and other broadcasts has stated that there are indeed cracks all over the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. So they're covering up something. They're not telling you that. Why isn't the BP and the government and the mass media telling you that there are cracks all along the seabed? Senator Nelson mentioned it, but it's been pretty suppressed otherwise. Another point I was trying to think of, too, just about to mention, they have been suppressing people's freedom of speech. They have been very desperate to make this, keep this concealed. Anybody in the area is told to get out of the area. This is ridiculous. If there was just a natural disaster, there would be no desire to expel people from the area, from the beaches. Also, boats are now... report from Mike Adams, the health ranger at Natural News, very reliable source. He always documents his information. He stated that now boats, I believe, boats on the Gulf of Mexico are being threatened with severe penalty if for being in the Gulf. So anybody around that area, it seems that they're very concerned about people observing and reporting on what they see.
Hey, John.
And again, this oil blanket would make a wonderful cover for what's really all the ruminations and explosions or breakup that's going on below the seabed. That's one reason why they would not want to clean up the oil. This is a major point. They don't want to clean up the oil. Obviously, everybody is complaining because they do not want to clean up the oil. They've been refusing cleanup vessels from other countries. Why? Because if you clean up the oil, then you can really see what's going on below with all this explosive activity down at the seabed, and they don't want people to know.
Yeah, and
sorry, go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, I'd like to add to that by stating that back in the, I think it was the mid-90s, there was this Open Skies Treaty, so that would allow other countries to do overhead satellite surveillance of that area. So I don't know if that Open Skies Treaty law is still in effect, but I also wanted to tell you, I looked up on the Truckers Road Atlas, from New Orleans to Pensacola is almost 200 miles, so that's a pretty rough figure of how far that would be.
I grossly overestimated the distance, but that's still quite a distance. Yeah, so these that's essentially what it appears to be when we see so much evidence of methane gases and also oil coming up all over the Gulf of Mexico, that it's not localized to that one. The leak is not localized to that one 7-inch diameter drill pipe. So that basically is it. Now, but you look at the broader view, you see that we're seeing natural disasters beginning to increase in frequency and intensity all over the world right now. You know, if you look back at the historical accounts from ancient history that have been dug up, that have been found by archaeologists and ancient historians, reports, we do have some going back several thousand years. At the time, about 3,600 years ago, when Planet X made its last orbit into the solar system, during the time of the Exodus, the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, we have nations of the world reporting on the disasters that occurred then. We have the annals of Emperor Yaozi of China, who ruled during the time, that time, around 1630 BC, which is roughly 3,600 years ago. And he said that the sun remained out for several days. There was no nighttime.
John.
Yes.
I should interject here. While you're talking about the sun, I got an email from Margot. On my email list today, there was a double blast on the sun. The sun is very active today. A pair of magnetic filaments, one on either side of the solar disk, erupted today, hurling a pair of coronal mass ejections into space. Now, according, this was taken from the Solar Dynamics Observatory. You said that if if this was a plasma discharge, that this would mean about, what, 2 or 3 days from now we'll see a big quake?
Around 2 or 3 days from now, the Earth, it would be that coronal mass ejection plasma would strike the Earth. So when did this blast from the sun occur? What day? Just today?
Yeah, it was from today. She sent it out in the late morning today.
Okay, and it was a major blast. Well, we can expect serious earthquakes.
At least a day or two, a couple days. Yeah, she said at least 2 coronal mass ejections. Yep.
Now, it depends on, you know, if a coronal mass ejection usually is, if it's large enough, really is expelled from all, explodes from all around the sun. The entire skin of the sun blows off. And this plasma is directed outward in all directions. So Earth is bound to be hit by it. But in this case, it looked like coronal mass ejections that were localized to certain areas of the sun. So we, if we're lucky, maybe it was not traveling in our direction. Maybe we won't get it so bad. I hope we don't. But when a CME blast hits, you have plasma, which is electrified gas, striking the Earth's magnetic field. And if you can visualize the Earth's magnetic field, it's like visualize a bird cage. You've seen a bird cage with the vertical thin wire bars vertically around the cage. Now, imagine that cage rotating very slowly. And all of a sudden, somebody takes a stick and puts it, jams it in between the bars of that bird cage. Well, the rotation of the bird cage would then become jolted. It would no longer be rotating at a smooth, regular rate, but it would jerk, jolt. That's what happens to the planet Earth when those invisible birdcage bars, which are actually the Earth's magnetic lines of force, lines of flux that emanate from the Earth, around the Earth, envelop the Earth, like a birdcage or like an egg beater. Those bars, invisible magnetic lines, become jolted by the opposing magnetic field of these streams of electrically charged particles, streams of electric currents. That's what they are. Massive bundles of electric currents flowing out, blowing out in a straight line from the sun to the Earth like a stick, acting like a stick poking between the bars of the birdcage. So when the Earth's rotational velocity becomes jolted, jerked, it's what it does to the Earth's tectonic plates is causes them to bump up against one another. It visualizes someone carrying a tray of Jell-O with pineapple slices floating on top of the Jell-O, and then somebody bumps the elbow of this person carrying the tray of Jell-O. What's going to happen to the pineapple slices? They're going to butt up against, they're going to slam up against one another, floating on this gelatinous surface. Well, that's very similar to what we have on the surface of the Earth. We have 12 tectonic plates comprising the Earth's crust. The leaf beneath that is the mantle, which is somewhat viscous, like Jell-O. And when these CMEs hit, it's like bumping the elbow of the person carrying the Jell-O tray, or it's like putting a stick through the birdcage. The tectonic plates slam up against one another. And that's when you have, but that's what has actually manifests itself as earthquakes.
Now, John?
And that's how earthquakes occur. I've never seen this explained to people, to the general public. And in fact, I don't even know if the scientific community knows about this, but it's obvious electric physics to me, based on principles of electricity and magnetism. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, it's too bad we can't get someone like Professor Jim McCanny to come on to talk about this. But anyway, this thing I was just mentioning about the sun, they have an excellent, they have some information on spaceweather.com about it, and I'm looking at it here. It says the two brightest coronal mass ejections were caused by eruptions of unrelated magnetic filaments on opposite sides of the sun. The origin of the other three coronal mass ejections in the movie I'm looking at remains uncertain. None of the clouds appears to be heading towards Earth. The display was photogenic but not geo-effective, whatever that means. But it says, stay tuned for follow-up movies from the Solar Dynamics Observatory. And again, if you folks go to spaceweather.com, they talk about what the solar wind speed is and everything. Really great information there, John.
That's true. And we need to be following that because there's a scientific connection between that data and the disasters, the earthquakes that occur on Earth. But I hope they're correct when they say that the blast was not directed toward Earth.
Yeah, who knows? Well, maybe they're not really telling us the truth.
Yeah, I mean, no, they may be, and I hope they are telling the truth. But we should always be prepared. I mean, we should talk about survival, you know, preparation. It's not enough to worry people and cause anxiety in people with the facts of these disasters. We have to give them hope, and we have to talk about how we can prepare. Their first preparation is in terms of spiritual preparation with God. Everything I've studied about in the Bible indicates that God is speaking through his prophets, Isaiah, the Apostle John, etc., all the people who have been written the books of the Bible, and God states that he is going to cause this destruction on earth. He is the one who's doing it, and the reason why he's doing it is because nobody has a relationship with him, and he understands, he can read our minds, and he wants us to have that relationship. So simply understand the presence of God, and that's where you begin, and you'll begin to know his identity and what love that he has for us. When you see the great creation that he's given to us, just develop that relationship with God in your mind. Feel his presence and imagine, because you're imagining reality. When you imagine that you've got this imaginary guide with you, giving you thoughts, guiding your mind in everything you do. I know I forget often to keep God in my thoughts, to feel his presence. It's very difficult. We have to call out to him to give us that relationship, because he actually is the one who controls our lives, and he keeps our heart beating, so naturally he can help me to keep my mind focused on him as I go about my daily activities. This is what we all have to do in preparation. That's the primary measure that we should take to prepare ourselves, because God does say he will guarantee that you will not be harmed by the falling rocks or by the earthquakes or by the disasters. He will supernaturally protect you. He guarantees.
Hey, John.
And people say, well, I can't be sure about that guarantee. Well, then what's your option? What's your alternative? Be killed?
Hey, John.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to add by stating that it feels like there's a presence working through me to get this information out to the public. And I believe that's what you're talking about there. You know, even though I'm not a biblical fanatic or whatever, I feel like I'm on a mission.
Be, right.
Huh?
You don't have to be. All you do is you just know that God is with you, and you know, and he will reveal his identity to you.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I'm a smart person, and I should be heavily preparing for these events coming. But it's like at a subconscious level, I know I'm going to be okay. I don't need to prepare too much. So, but hey,
amazing. That subconscious thought is coming from God.
Yeah, I believe it is.
To give you that mental security.
I wanted to read something really quick to you here before the show ends. This just came in my email, and I think you need to hear this here. I just got this from the Kevin Smith Show. He does a show out of Phoenix, Arizona. He's syndicated and heard in, I think, over 80 countries. He's got an article here put out by Heidi Spidel. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but I'll have to forward this to you, John. It says, does the movie Knowing predict more than the BP oil disaster? She says, ever since the Gulf disaster happened, people have been wondering if powerful members of a hidden world government planned this event in advance. Like 9/11, is this yet another false flag operation aimed at further enslaving and controlling the world's population? There is mounting evidence to suggest that the catastrophe in the Gulf might not be an accident. Among the many curiosities that have surfaced recently has been the fact that the BP oil rig explosion in the Gulf was predicted in the movie Knowing. that was released in March of last year, starring Nicolas Cage. The plotline centers on a man who becomes obsessed with decoding the hidden meaning of the numbers that were written on a piece of paper found in a time capsule. In the movie, each future disaster is predicted by a sequence of numbers that give the date, the number of people dead, and three, the GPS location of the disaster given as latitude and longitude. And so I'll have to forward that on to you, but what the article's stating is that this, what you were saying earlier, this oil disaster might not have been an accident.
Well, yeah, I mean, just think about it. If they did it purposely, just to make it look like a puny man has caused this tremendous Gulf of Mexico oil disaster, then they can continue to make the public believe that there's nothing wrong, that natural disasters are not sweeping the earth. And therefore, people will continue to be subservient and obedient to the government. This is what they want. This is what the power elite want more than anything else, for people to continue to be subservient and obedient to them. And when they see a situation like Planet X is coming in, and the evidence is mountainous. I don't even have the time to show you all the newspaper reports about Planet X. New York Times, Washington Post, when it was discovered back in 1983, but believe me, the ancient historical evidence of its past orbital incursions at 1630 BC and then 3,600 years before that, around 5,300 BC, which was the great flood of Noah's day, and then another orbital period before that, another 3,600 year orbital period before that, which was roughly 8,900 BC, which was the sinking of Atlantis. These dates are given by geologists and archaeologists. So we have secular scientists verifying what the Bible tells us as to, and the dates are just incredibly uniform, indicating that there's a uniform constant orbital period of this comet that comes into the solar system. It takes a Comets are indeed periodic. Their period is predictable, like a pendulum. You can compare a comet to a pendulum. The swing of the pendulum depends upon its length and the mass, etc. So therefore, the length of time that pendulum takes to swing from one end back to the other is regular, constant, uniform, predictable. Likewise with a comet. Comet goes out into deep space, and then revolves around a distant sun. Yes, our solar system is very much like three out of four solar systems that astronomers have observed, in that our solar system has a distant dead sun far away. That dead sun is very massive. So it provides the other end, the gravitational end of the pendulum, for this comet, Planet X, to loop around. And so it goes back and forth, more or less like a baseball being thrown by two pitchers warming up in the bullpen. The ball goes back and forth, back and forth. That's exactly what happens to this planet. It loops around the distant sun, comes back very slowly, and now it's, because of its kinetic energy, when it loop around, whipped it and threw it back toward our sun, and then as it comes toward our sun, the gravitational force of our sun increases exponentially the closer it gets.
John, the show is done. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight, John. I thought you did a great job. I'll be back next weekend, same date, same time, same network. Thanks, John, for coming on. We'll talk to you folks later. Good night.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Good night, John.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
It's time to get serious.